Now, let's look at twisted scripture number 29. Twisted scripture number 29, Joel chapter 2. Now, this is very important that we understand the correct context of this, because I have this passage quoted at me so many times where people say, well, Brandon, why do you have a problem with people receiving extra biblical revelation today? You see, I teach, because that's what the Word of God teaches, that the canon is closed. The Bible is very clear in Psalm and Deuteronomy and Revelation that we are not to add to the Word of God, not to add to or take away from. And Revelation says that, as I just explained to you, and some will say, well, that means you don't add to the book of Revelation. Well, the book of Revelation is the last book. So if you're adding to the Bible, even with the last book, that's still a problem, right? But we're told in the scripture in Psalm and Deuteronomy and in Revelation not to be adding to the canon. Now, if God is speaking today in this church age, then the canon is still open. And then scripture is going to be contradicting scripture. We've got a problem. God's still speaking. The canon's open, yet the Bible says don't add to the Word of God. Well, God isn't speaking today. But many people believe he is speaking outside his word. He's not speaking audibly outside of his word. I'm not undermining the ministry of the Holy Spirit to prompt us to maybe call somebody or prompt us to go minister to somebody. But I'm not talking about an audible voice here. I'm not undermining the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, to help us to understand the scriptures, to illuminate the Word of God to us and help us to understand it. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But that's totally different from people who claim God is audibly speaking to them today, or God is giving them a vision, or God is giving them a dream. We even have people like, sadly, not just in the Word of Faith or New Apostolic Reformation, we have people like Beth Moore, who we've shown a video clip of, talking about how God sometimes speaks to her through a vision. He'll give her a vision. And he gave her a vision of what the church should be, and it includes the Catholic Church. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If God is giving people dreams or visions today in this church age, then we've got a problem. The canon is still open, and it's not still open because we're told in, again, Proverbs, Deuteronomy, and Revelation, it's not. But people will quote to me Joel chapter 2 to say, but Brandon, Joel chapter 2 says that people are going to have visions and dreams and prophesy. And this same passage is quoted in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, you're wrong. It's okay to believe that God is giving people visions and dreams or extra biblical revelation through visions and dreams. And yet, my friends, they're taking Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 completely out of context. Let's look at it. Joel chapter 2, let's start at verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, we need to break this down, but let's understand this same passage is quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2. Go over to Acts chapter 2. We see this same passage from Joel chapter 2 being quoted in Acts chapter 2. Let's read it. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, just like we saw in Joel chapter 2. Now let's break this down. What is this verse saying? Well, let's start with that first phrase. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What is this talking about? Well, I believe that we see this clearly in the scriptures, this pouring out of God's spirit on the house of Israel. And so I believe this passage of scripture can have three interpretations by people, three different interpretations. I only go with two of the three. But here's the three. That all flesh, when it says, I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh, I believe there are three possibilities here. One, all flesh of the house of Israel. Two, all flesh of those that are on the earth, as some say. Or three, all flesh of different people groups. Now, let's deal with the first one. Let's deal with the first one, all flesh of the house of Israel. Okay? Look at Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. So, do we see the Spirit of God being poured out on the house of Israel? Absolutely. We see that in Joel. We see that in Acts 2. We see that in Zechariah 12. We even see that in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. That says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. What do you have going on there in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4? You have the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are coming to Christ in a total 144,000. And what do? They go over all the earth preaching the gospel, and a great revival breaks out. And we'll get into that, because that brings us with the second possibility. All flesh can mean God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh of the house of Israel. It could mean, some say, he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh, meaning those that are on the earth. Let's look at that. Or third, all flesh, meaning different people groups. But let's deal with the second one now. All flesh, meaning those that are on the earth. That's what some say this means. I don't believe it means this, but this is why some might say that. Revelation 14, verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And then we also see in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 11, the two witnesses showing up, many who say is Elijah and Moses, and they're preaching the gospel, and they're doing signs and wonders, and they end up being murdered, and they lay in the street for 3 days, and then they get up, and they ascend into heaven. And it says in Revelation chapter 11, that this is seen by the whole world. And some would say that maybe that's what this means when it says that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, that he will allow the whole world to see the miracles of Elijah and Moses. We also have an angel that's in Revelation chapter 14 that is preaching the gospel to everybody here on earth. And so the Holy Spirit is moving in a great and powerful way during the tribulation. And perhaps that's what it means when it says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, meaning they're going to get to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. Some would say it's very similar maybe to what we see going on in Hebrews chapter 6. Remember we studied Hebrews chapter 6, where it said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, meaning they heard the gospel, they weren't saved. Enlightened isn't saved. It just means they heard the gospel, they heard the truth of the gospel, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Again, it goes on to talk about how they fall away. They fell away. It's not someone who was a believer. It's talking about someone who was a non-believer, who had the gospel presented to them, enlightened. They were partakers of the Holy Spirit. They saw the ministry of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing powerful things. They saw the ministry of the apostles, empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing powerful and wonderful and miraculous things. And they got to partake in seeing what the Holy Spirit was doing. But yet after seeing all these things, they fall away. They reject Christ. And Hebrews 6 says there's no sacrifice that remains for them that do this. So some would say that Joel 2 and Acts 2 is talking about God pouring out his spirit on the people of earth. They hear the gospel. They see miraculous things through the prophets, the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, and they see the power of the Holy Spirit. They are partakers, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, as you see in Hebrews chapter 6. Doesn't mean that everybody accepts Christ, but they had the opportunity to hear the gospel. So that would be the second possibility. All flesh means all flesh of the house of Israel. All flesh could mean of those that are on earth and see these miraculous things. Or thirdly, it could mean all flesh means of different people groups. It doesn't mean literally all flesh. It means people of all people groups. And we could look at John 12, verse 32 that says, and if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. That's not saying everybody's going to become a believer. It's simply saying all people from all people groups, tribe, language, tongues, and nations will come to Christ. And that's really what we see in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And then if we go from verse 9 to verse 14, we find out who these people are. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. In other words, these are the tribulation saints. And it is a vast amount of people who, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues that have come to Christ. There's a great revival that breaks out. But where did this great revival start? It started with the house of Israel. God poured out his spirit on the house of Israel. So what is meant by all flesh? I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I believe what is being discussed here is one and three, option one and three. He's pouring out his spirit on the house of Israel, the all flesh of the house of Israel, and he's pouring out his spirit on all the different people groups, all the different nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. I don't believe it's, as some say, option number two, which was all flesh means all those who are on the earth. Now, some believe that that's the case, because they say that what is going on here is the Spirit is being poured out on all of those during the end of the tribulation, and all of those who then go into the millennial kingdom are Christians. And so, yes, it's all flesh of those who are left at the end of the tribulation, who are believers, who go into the millennial kingdom. I don't see that, because I have a hard time believing that Joel chapter 2 and Acts 2 starts out by talking about the millennial kingdom and then rolls over into the tribulation. It's not in the correct order. So when Acts 2 or Joel 2 says that it will come to pass in those days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, I believe the all flesh is the house of Israel, and because of the preaching of the house of Israel, whom the Spirit was poured out on, the 144,000 Jews who become believers, who become this great troop of evangelists that spread throughout the world and preached the gospel. And as we saw there in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, so many people become believers of every nation, tribe, people, and language that it's a multitude that no one could number. I believe we can clearly say that when it says all flesh being poured out, that's all flesh of the house of Israel and the different people groups that will become believers because of their witness. I believe that's what's occurring. Now, we need to understand that what's happening in Acts 2 and in Joel 2 is during the tribulation. But you say, wait a minute, House. If it's during the tribulation, why is Peter in Acts 2 quoting Joel 2? Because some say that really what's happening in Acts 2 is the fulfillment of Joel 2. No, it can't be the fulfillment of Joel 2 in Acts 2, because Acts 2 is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And there are other things that goes on to be said here that did not come true at the time of Pentecost. They didn't happen. Go on and read the rest of Acts 2. It says, again, let's back up, and it shall come to pass in those last days, or in the last days, says God, that I will... And by the way, when are the last days? The last days is from the arrival of Jesus Christ in his coming to earth, fully God, fully man, Emmanuel, the coming of Christ to the second coming. That is the last days. That would be when we have the last days. So it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now look, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Who are the sons and daughters? Joel is speaking specifically to the nation of Israel. So that's another reason we know all flesh, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, has got to include the Jewish people. The Jewish people are finally going to accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. They're going to receive him and they're going to become believers. 144,000 of them will become great evangelists. They will go throughout the globe preaching the gospel. And so many people become believers, as we saw, from every nation and tribe and people and tongue that no one could number. So we know that this pouring out of my spirit on all flesh includes the children of Israel. But it also, I believe, includes those who become believers during that time. But then it goes on to describe what shall happen. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. What does that mean? Prophesy doesn't have to mean, and normally does not mean, someone who is predicting the future. Your pastor can have the gift of prophecy. What does that mean? He has the gift of speaking forth truth. Are the 144,000 witnesses, that group of Jewish evangelists, are they going to be speaking forth truth? Are they going to be preaching? Yes, that's prophesying. Prophesying generally almost always means in the scripture, one who speaks forth truth. Do people today have the gift of prophecy? Yes, speaking forth truth. We're not talking about foretelling, we're talking about forthtelling. Let me say that again. We're not talking about the gift of prophecy being foretelling, predicting the future, forthtelling, proclaiming the truth. And the children of Israel, whom the Holy Spirit will be poured out on, and particularly those 144,000 Jewish evangelists, will have that gift of prophecy, are speaking forth truth. And then it says, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and my men servants, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, we know this is occurring during the tribulation. Why? Because look what it says. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. When? Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, what is the day of the Lord? That term is used many times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there are different places that it is used to discuss God's intervention into the affairs of men to bring judgment. Let me say that again. The day of the Lord, correctly defined, and there are many times we see the day of the Lord discussed, and it's at different times where God has intervened into the affairs of men to bring judgment. And so we see the day of the Lord actually occurring at different times. And here in Joel 2, which is repeated in Acts 2, what we see happening is the prediction of what is really going to occur during the tribulation, particularly toward the end of the tribulation and moving into the millennial kingdom period. And incredible things start happening. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Did that happen in Acts 2? No. So those who say, well, Brandon, Acts 2 is the fulfillment of Joel 2. No, it is not. We haven't seen these things happen. Joel 2 is to the house of Israel. And then we have Peter preaching in Joel chapter 2 to the Jewish people once again. And on the day of Pentecost, we see remarkable, miraculous things occurring there on the day of Pentecost. And Peter then quotes Joel 2, and he's saying, what is occurring here on the day of Pentecost is only a foreshadowing of what is yet to come when the Jewish people will once again be doing great and miraculous things. The preaching of the gospel will go forth, and God will be doing miraculous things with the Jewish people. And then he goes on to talk about the blood and the fire and the vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness. That never happened in Acts 2. So Acts 2 is simply quoting Joel 2 to say what happened on the day of Pentecost is simply a foreshadowing of what is yet to come. And then we see in Joel 2 and Acts 2 that when will all these things happen? The moon into blood and the sun shall be turned into darkness. When does that happen? It says right there, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That is all going to occur right toward the end of the tribulation as the Lord comes back with his second coming, the great day of the Lord, to bring judgment. God intervening into the affairs of man to bring judgment. Matthew 24, 29 through 30 speaks to this. Again, using scripture to interpret scripture. Matthew 24, verses 29 through 30. Immediately after the tribulation, when? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Look there at Matthew 24, 29 to 30. Does that not sound like what was predicted to happen in Joel 2 and talked about again in Acts 2? That these things that will occur after the tribulation, right at the end of the tribulation, right before the coming of the Lord. We have the 7-year tribulation, and then right before the awesome day of the Lord, where he brings judgment and puts all of this to an end, right at the end of the tribulation, we see these things happen. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and Christ will come back. That's exactly what we see being described in Joel 2 and Acts 2. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. When? Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. When is that day of the Lord? At the second coming of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 5. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord. The second coming of Christ. And so we know that Joel chapter 2 being quoted in Acts chapter 2 cannot be for today. And that's the point I'm making. That is why I have taken the great pains to explain these verses as detailed as I have. Joel 2. Acts 2 is not scripture to be used today by people to say, yes, we're getting visions and dreams and we can prophesy and foretell the future. Acts 2 says we can. Joel 2 says we can. No, it does not. Joel 2 is to the Jewish people, your sons and your daughters, the Jewish people. Peter in Acts 2 is speaking to the Jewish people. And he's telling them, hey, what's occurring here on the day of Pentecost is, to you Jewish people, is only a foreshadowing of what is going to come during the tribulation and into the millennial kingdom. And we see from the scriptures we've looked at that this is indeed identical to what we see happening in Matthew 24, in 1 Thessalonians, and many other places. That these incredible things happen as the Lord comes forth and judges on that great day of the Lord. So the bottom line is, folks, do not let people take Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2 and say that it's okay to have visions and dreams. Yeah, God's giving people visions and dreams, because I cannot tell you how many times I get emails from people saying, oh, but Brandon, how can you deny that God's giving people visions and dreams today? Look at Joel 2, look at Acts 2. Well, I just explained the context. That is not happening in this church age today.